Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Better Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left for today's special episode of the County Cricket Podcast is none other than hard-hitting Somerset County Cricket Club opening batsman, Will Smead. So Will, first things first, mate, thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast today. How's your day been so far, mate?
It's been all right. Not been up so much. It's a rest day today, so yeah, just been chilling, trying to get ready for Saturday. That's obviously the big thing now.
Yeah, massive. Absolutely humongous. And for those who don't know what we're alluding to on Saturday, it is, of course, finals day 2021, Saturday, the 18th of September. I'm going to be there for the first time ever as well, which I'm very much looking forward to. Considering I live in the area, that is pretty poor for me. But again, I will be at Edgbaston in the West Stand for finals day. And Will, before we get into today's conversation, what is the mood like in the Somerset camp ahead of finals day? This is a massive occasion. Somerset have not won the T20 Cup for 16 years. They last won it in 2005. So what is the mood like in the Somerset camp itself ahead of this massive occasion?
I think we're all pretty confident and in a positive way. Obviously, it's anyone's day at finals day in T20 cricket in particular, but we back our skills, and I think if we show up, we've got as good a chance as anyone of winning it. And yeah, hopefully we can bring a trophy back to Taunton.
Fingers crossed for all the Somerset fans out there as well. And just one final say question, I suppose, Will. Are you confident that Stumpy can win the mascot race?
I haven't actually seen Stumpy this year, so I hope he's been doing his running, but yeah, we'll see. It's always good fun to watch that.
Yeah, it is indeed. I'm not sure about Hugh's chances this year. I'm going to be honest. I don't know who's dressing up in the bear costume, but we will have to wait and see. Of course, a staple at finals day, the mascot race around Fortress Edgbaston. 20,000 people, the holly stand full of fancy dress. And Will, it's going to be your first ever finals day. So exciting times indeed on Saturday.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I can imagine.
It should be awesome.
It will be. It will be incredible, Will. It'll be one of the best days of your cricketing career. I've absolutely no doubt about that. But of course, just for today's podcast then, for the listeners out there, in terms of the conversation of today's episode, I'm going to be talking to Will about his earliest cricketing memories. Then, of course, we're going to spend a large chunk of the episode talking about Somerset County Cricket Club. And then we'll end today's episode with some fan questions because, Will, as I mentioned beforehand, there was quite a lot of questions that came in when we announced your name on Twitter. So we'll get to those as the podcast progresses. But before we get into all of that good stuff then, Will, let's start right at the beginning of the Will Smead cricketing journey. So, Will, what were your first ever memories of cricket, either playing or watching the game?
I think it would have just been playing in sort of PE sessions at school and then sort of, yeah, just at school. It all starts at school and then obviously you do like the district trials and stuff and sort of go through that process. They were always pretty nervy, the old trials. The coaches sat just watching you with their clipboards and God knows what they were writing down on there. But yeah, that's sort of my earliest memory, just sort of playing with the Incrediball, tennis ball and plastic bats and stumps and stuff. So yeah.
Fair enough, Will. I mean, I can't say that I've experienced district trials or county trials, any of that good stuff. Not quite there, don't think I ever will be. I think talking about cricket is much better for me personally instead of playing it. But you mentioned there in those early days, playing with the Incrediballs and, you know, plastic bat and stumps, but there is one classic we mentioned here on TCCP, Will. Did you play diamond cricket?
Not that I remember. What is diamond cricket?
Oh my goodness, Will Smead. That has absolutely shocked me. You're one of the first people on the podcast who doesn't know. Diamond cricket was one of the OG cricket games in primary school. It was absolutely fantastic. So you'd have the stumps set up as diamonds. And basically everyone bats. It was a really good way of getting everyone, you know, involved in the game. I'll have to show you after the podcast, mate. I'll have to show you after the podcast. But yeah, diamond cricket, absolutely class. And it's a fantastic way to get kids into the game, in my personal opinion. But Will, in those formative years then, who were your cricketing idols? Who did you look up to in the professional game, for example, maybe county cricket, international cricket? Who did you try to emulate and mould your game off of, per se?
I think I've never been one to sort of single someone out and try and mold my game sort of entirely around them. I think I always enjoyed watching sort of people hit the ball a long way and play all the fancy shots and stuff. So I was always trying that. And I think obviously there were a few at Somerset when I was younger. So like Keyes went to Butler, Trez was still there. There were a lot of top players around. And sort of Pollard was there as well. I remember watching him whack it out the ground. But yeah, it's never been sort of any single person. It's just been like, if I'm watching like any random game and I see someone do something, I might then go and try that in the nets or in the garden with my brother or something. And yeah, sort of just that's the way I went about it.
Fair enough. So drawing upon difference, I suppose, role models, emulations in those early days and putting it into your batting game. And talking of your batting, Will, I'd love to know this in your own words. How would you describe your approach to white ball cricket? How would you describe your batting approach and technique?
Slogging, probably. Yeah, that's a pretty good way of describing it. I'm not sure, really. I think I'm still trying to figure out what I want my white ball batting to look like, what I want innings to look like for me. And yeah, I'm still trying to figure that out. And hopefully the more I play, I can get a better understanding of that and sort of get that understanding as quickly as possible.
Fair enough. I'm going to be honest. I think you do yourself a bit of a disservice there saying slogging, because when I've watched you bat, and I watched you bat last year against Gloucestershire and against us, actually, funnily enough, in 2020, when we were in the central group, of course, in the T20 Blast, it's very dominant, bomb hand heavy. That's how I describe your batting. It's very whippy. It's almost like Rashid Khan, actually. But then there's also a little bit of a flavour of some punchy shots, a bit like Aaron Finch. That's how I personally would liken your game. Again, hey, not making...
You're being a bit too nice there, but...
I'm just saying a flavour, of course. Who knows, Will? You could be as good as Finchie one day. But I just wanted to ask about that dominant bottom hands. Is there a reason why your batting is like that? Because in England and Wales, the more traditional approach is having a top hand heavy approach, because that's the one you lean into your forward defence with. Is there any reason that you can think of why your approach to batting is so bottom hand dominant?
I can't think of anything in particular, to be honest, apart from, especially in T20 cricket, just trying to hit the ball miles. I think I get a lot of my power from that bottom hand and sort of back hip. And I think I do try and play proper shots early on in my innings, but that probably goes out the window a bit once the field's back and I have to start trying to clear the ropes a bit more. But yeah, I'm not really sure. I think in Red Bull cricket, I'd say there's less bottom hand involved, but obviously no one would have seen that because haven't played any first-class games yet and haven't been sort of shown in the media. But yeah, I'd say just T20 especially, it is bottom hand. I don't know. I think maybe from the sports I played when I was younger, I played quite a lot of tennis and hockey and stuff like that. So maybe from that, but I can't really think of any other reason why. It's never been like a conscious effort. It's just something that's happened.
That's quite interesting to hear, to be honest. And it is interesting you mentioned their hockey and tennis in particular, because I think of players like AB de Villiers, who again does have a very, very strong bottom hand, can clear the boundary for absolute miles. And again, he used those two sports to really generate that power behind his batting approach. So that is interesting. Maybe it is why, and maybe again, we don't know the actual reason why, but in T20 cricket, having a dominant bottom hand does serve you well, doesn't it? You look at the likes of ABD. Kevin Peterson, for example. Tom Banton, of course, your teammate at Somerset, is another one. Virat Kohli has a dominant bottom hand. It does serve you well in T20 cricket, because that is where you can get a lot of power behind the ball. Yeah. But you mentioned there, Will, the elephant in the room, the red ball elephant in the room, of course. Now, this was a massive theme when we put the announcement out on Twitter. Is Will going to play red ball? What does he want to do in red ball? Is he going to make his championship debut? This, that, the other, right? If you could address it, is there a want, is there an appetite for playing red ball cricket with Somerset County Cricket Club for you just yet? Or is that something which you're trying to work on and maybe achieve in the future, per se?
I'm desperate to play. I'm desperate to break into the side. But I think if I'm being brutally honest, I don't deserve it at the moment. I haven't put in the performances in the second team to warrant a debut. And as frustrating as that is, personally, I think that's a pretty fair reflection on where my red ball cricket is. I think there's a few technical things I need to work on to sort of be able to bat for longer against better bowling. And yeah, I think I'll work hard at it over the winter and hopefully I can come back and score some early season runs in the twos next year and break into that first team. Because I think everyone's desperate to be in it and everyone's desperate to do something special with Somerset at the moment as well. And I think we have got a good bunch there and hopefully we can manage that at some point soon.
100%, Will. Yeah, it is. It's a matter of time with Somerset. I know, again, it's been years still waiting on that elusive county championship trophy success, but you do have a good bunch down in Taunton. I must admit, they came incredibly close last year in the Bob Willis Trophy final 2019, of course, with that final game against Essex. I think it is just a matter of time. We'll have to wait and see with Somerset, and fingers crossed they can, of course, achieve county championship success in the next few years, Will. But we will talk about a little bit more about Red Bull cricket later again. We'll leave the fan questions until the end of the podcast because there are quite a few to go through. But we mentioned there about Somerset, and you alluded to beforehand the district trials and, you know, that pathway in Somerset itself, Will. But what were your first memories of county cricket?
I think it was being asked to play in an under-10s game when I was, I can't remember how old I was, but we were on a family holiday and I couldn't play and I was gutted. That's the first thing I remember from it. But yeah, I sort of, I took the standard pathway through it all, I guess. Sort of playing young age groups, EPP, academy, and then signing a rookie contract. I think that's the sort of pathway that's set out as like standard. And that's what I've done because I've been at Somerset the whole way through and was fortunate enough to get picked up early as well.
Fair enough. So again, a very, very early journey into the game of cricket and a very traditional one as well, as you mentioned, districts, age group, and then of course playing for Somerset. And I suppose we have to talk about your debut because it was in 2020, which, as we all know, was an incredibly strange year, not just for cricket, but in general, in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, of course, no fans in there as well. What can you remember from your Somerset debut? And again, how momentous of an occasion was that for you personally, having come through that age group pathway and system in Taunton?
Oh, it was awesome. Obviously, it was a shame there were no crowds in, and it was strange circumstances to be making my debut in, but I loved it. And I think I was very aware that there were a lot of people watching it compared to the cricket I played before. And I think the main thing that stuck out was realizing you're actually suddenly playing for a lot more people, because you're actually playing for the supporters. Then they don't really support sort of the twos or the under 15s. They want the first team to be winning, and that's the main thing I remember from that. It was, yeah, I guess you're responsible for the club's success at that point, and yeah, just trying to take on that responsibility and put in a performance. And it was pretty nervy, and I think Jason noticed I was nervous probably because the second game he told me just pretend it's a club game. And that was something that actually helped quite a lot, as simple and sort of trivial as it seems.
So hang on, let me get this straight. So Jason Kerr's second game said treat it as a club game. Will, just let the listeners know, what did you do in your second ever T20 game?
I actually managed to get a few. That was the only time that year I got a few. That was a pretty awesome day. I think I took a lot of confidence from that. Because I think that's quite a big thing, is putting in a performance. When you go up a level, sort of putting in a performance at that level, and you take the confidence from that, that you can do well at that level and you should be playing. So I think it all happened really quickly. I sort of went from playing academy games and for Bridgewater to playing for the first team, and sort of I was doubting if I should actually be there, if I was good enough. I took a lot of confidence from that knock that I could do it at that level. And obviously the rest of that season didn't go as I wanted it to, but that innings is definitely something that's sort of stuck with me.
Yeah, it didn't just stick with you, Will. I think it stuck in the minds of a lot of us here in the county circuit, to be honest. It was absolutely brutal. 82 of 49 balls, 6 fours, 5 sixes in your second ever T20 game. I mean, it's an incredible, incredible performance that, as you said, in a very disjointed season. But yeah, I think you should be immensely proud of that. And again, do you think, in fact, I wanted to ask this actually, because again, you mentioned about Second 11 cricket, academy cricket, and I know it is T20 Blast cricket, of course, it's a prestigious competition, but how difficult did you find, or have you found, that step up from Second 11 cricket into First 11 cricket, or have you kind of, I don't know, adapted to it quite naturally?
I think I was lucky to get the taste of it that I did last year. I think I struggled last year. I think sort of I took the winter to sort of work on my game and think about how I'd not get stuck. That was the main thing, was not getting stuck at one end and facing a load of dot balls. And I had a chance to work on that. And I think that's definitely been beneficial this year. I think that season, I was happy with that one knock, but the rest of it wasn't great. And I think playing that has definitely helped me this year, because I've sort of known what to expect as well. And obviously this year we've had a few crowds in as well, which has been good. And the quarterfinal is actually my first home game with a full crowd, which is seems pretty weird after playing sort of the whole season, but yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that in due course, because that was an incredible performance, a great night, a memorable night in Taunton for the Somerset Faithful. Because, of course, before that, as you mentioned, we had had crowds in, but it was capped at 25% attendance, wasn't it, across the country?
Yeah.
You had some counties which weren't even allowed fans in then. I mean, Kent was one of them, which still weren't allowed fans in until very, very recently. So, yeah, it has been a very, very interesting start to your cricket career in terms of the the outside factors.
Yeah, it's been weird.
It has indeed. Yeah, it's not the most traditional in that sense at all, because, of course, we as fans haven't been allowed in. But in terms of those Somerset fans, Will, on the occasions where they have been in and they have supported the boys, just how valuable is their support? Just how good are the Somerset fans to you as a cricketer going out there and performing in front of them?
Oh, they're awesome. I think they're probably known around the circuit as one of the noisier,
yeah,
more one-sided crowds, I would have thought.
Partisan.
Yeah. Yeah, that quarterfinal was amazing. Obviously, when Lammers and Abe started whacking it at the end, the place was rocking. And I was sat in the dugouts just watching it, and it was amazing. And I think you can see how much it means to them as well, which you take a lot of, I don't know the right word, but as a player, that means a lot to you as well, that they care about what you're doing. And because they want the club to win just as much as you do, probably. So, yeah, you take a lot from that as a player.
I imagine you would. They are an excellent crowd down in Taunton, I must admit. As I mentioned, quite partisan. So, in terms of very, very vociferous in their support of the local team, and then a little bit more quieter when the team, you know, the opposing team does start to get a bit of momentum. But they're great fans, very knowledgeable in the West Country, I must admit. Somerset, Gloucestershire, I love going down there. Fantastic little venues to watch cricket at, knowledgeable fans, lovely fans as well. Yeah, it's a nice place to play your cricket, I must admit, Will. I quite like Somerset, as you may be able to tell from the glowing review that I've just given them as a club.
It's a good place to be a home player, that's for sure.
Yeah, away, maybe not so much. I can think of Taunton, Edgbaston with the Hollies, at Chelmsford as well. Chelmsford can be an intimidating place. Very, very intimidating indeed.
Sussex. I think there was just one drunk guy there shouting at us when we played them this year.
But again, it's Citadel Chelmsford. What do you expect? Yeah. The fact is, you're going to get that little bit of chat and abuse on the boundary rope, I suppose, from the Essex faithful. But before we get into finals day, you know, future aspirations as well, Will, just one final thing on the T20 Blast so far this year. How would you describe your performances in the competition? Because heading into finals day, you're actually the club's leading run scorer in this year's competition. For those who don't know the stats behind this, 327 runs at 32.7 with a 134.56 strike rate. Are you satisfied with those performances, Will? Or how would you go about describing your performances in T20 cricket for Somerset in 2021?
It's a weird one, because I think I've been getting a lot of sort of 30s and 40s, and I'm pretty disappointed actually with getting there and then getting out. I want to be kicking on, making big scores and sort of batting to the end of the innings. I'm happy sort of. So from last year, I've improved on not getting stuck and getting a start, but now it's about how do I kick on from there. And I think that's another thing of figuring out what an innings is going to look like for me. So from like 0 to 6, I'm getting clear on what I need to do, but then it's through the middle overs. And at the end, how am I going to play that? And what's going to be my method? And yeah, like I said, I'm happy-ish with how I've done. I think I could have done a lot better than I have, and that's without trying to sound cocky or anything. I think once you get to 30 or 40, there's no reason why you can't go on. And sort of I've been getting out in soft ways quite a lot, which is frustrating. And yeah, hopefully I can change that when I next get the chance and go on and make some big scores that have big impact on the games.
Well, fingers crossed, Will. And of course, for Saturday, for Somerset fans, hopefully, fingers crossed, a big score there in front of, well, let's just say 20-odd thousand people at Edgbaston. Plenty in fancy dress, and yeah, should be a great day. As you can tell, I'm looking forward to finals day. I know for me, it's a neutral game. I'm a Birmingham Bears fan, but it's just a great day. It's a great occasion, great way to wrap up the T20 Blast, and it's just iconic. It really is. So it should be a fantastic day for everyone going down to the Fortress on Saturday. But Will, before we get into future aspirations, as I alluded to there, I also wanted to touch about one more thing in cricket, and that is the pressures, I suppose, the tougher moments, the tougher aspects of the game. Because especially as a batsman, people do have expectations. And given your rapid rise through the ranks at Somerset, I suppose, from 2020, you've come into 2021, leading run scorer, you've impressed for the Birmingham Phoenix in the 100 as well. Do you feel that there is more pressure on the way in which you perform? Do you feel as though the outside factors have increased with that rapid rise? Or have you dealt with that quite well? How would you actually go about explaining the increase or perceived increase of expectation on your shoulders?
I think there definitely has been an increase in sort of what people are expecting, but I've always been pretty good at sort of, I can't remember who said it, but they said treat pressure as a privilege. So sort of take confidence from the pressure in a way, and that people are expecting you to do well because you've earned that in a way. And yeah, there's more pressure, but I think once you get out on the pitch as well, you forget about that and you might be nervy, but that's probably more because there are a lot of people watching you as opposed to sort of you not trusting your skills or anything like that. So yeah, I think I try and take confidence, like I said, from that. And if people are expecting things of you, you've probably earned it. And yeah, just how, and then it's about not letting it get to you. And I think sort of I know what I need to do, and the coaches, a lot of the coaches at Somerset know me very well and have spent a lot of time with me. So I think we're pretty good at keeping it simple and just sort of, it's a game of cricket at the end of the day. It's not the end of the world. We're just playing with a bat and a ball and just go out and have fun, especially in T20 cricket. I think that's literally it. It's just go and have fun and see what happens.
I think that's a very, very nice way of describing it, to be honest. But we have spoken about this a lot on the podcast, in particular about social media, because now I'm guessing your social media following has gone through the roof compared to what it was in
Yeah.
2020. Like, have you had to deal with any negative connotations social media so far in your career, or has it been quite, quite level for the time being?
Well, I mean, you always get people sort of on Twitter and stuff like that saying you're rubbish and you shouldn't be in the team. And but I think that's just part and parcel of pro sport at the moment, and it's sort of a shame in a way, but I think that doesn't get to me, and I'm very good at just reading it and having a laugh about it. And then yeah, like I said, just going back to the game and playing and just trying to win games for Somerset, I guess. I mean, I don't think many people let that get to them. And I think because obviously it's still not on like a massive scale, I'm not getting like hundreds of people abusing me saying I'm useless, but I think it's just the odd one. But yeah, it's, I just have a laugh at it and joke about it with the lads, to be honest.
Fair enough, Will. That's a healthy way of dealing with it, I suppose. And as you said, it's not the majority, is it? Fortunately, but it is a shame. I always do think that on the podcast
Yeah.
when it's just constant. Like, we have had people on the podcast, Tom Lace, for example, came on, spoke very openly about his struggles with social media. And for some cricketers, it can be very, very tough to deal with when you just get this constant stream of abuse, especially if you're in a bit of a tough patch. So I'm glad to hear that you do, deal with the pressures associated with the social media very, very in a healthy way, I suppose, Will. So that is excellent to hear. So, Will, before we get on to our fan questions, and to be honest, I think we might actually have time for teammates, which would be absolutely fantastic on today's episode. It's always a nice way to wrap up. And in fact, you're our second Somerset player after Roloff. So it'll be interesting to see if the answers match up with RVDM. But Will, one final question from me then before we get into the fan questions, of which there are quite a few. What are your future aspirations with Somerset? Not just in 2021, but into the next few years. What are you trying to achieve with Somerset County Cricket Club?
I think it's, I've never been one to sort of single out future goals. For me, it's been more about taking each game as it comes and just trying to score runs in that game and see what happens. And I think that works for me. I think for some people, long-term goal setting sort of works for them and helps them achieve those goals. But for me, it's just about taking each game individually and trying to perform as well as I can in those games and sort of have the most positive influence I can for Somerset. I think I'd like to take a more senior role or take more responsibility and especially T20 cricket and sort of not just be like a fringe player, sort of cement my place and then consistently perform. But like I said earlier, I want to put in some actual big performances as opposed to sort of pretty 30s and 40s and yeah, have big impacts on games. And then from a team point of view, I think we're all desperate to win as many trophies as we can. We believe that if we perform well, we can. We have the players to do it. It's just about performing. And I think especially our T20 side, at the start of the year, we weren't really sure about individual roles within the side because it was pretty like young team. Like, but now it's sort of everyone's figuring out their roles. And I think you can see that from the side and playing in it as well. It feels a lot more calm and set. And yeah, I feel like we're getting a better picture of what our T20 side looks like and how that works.
Fair enough, Will. Fair enough. And as you said, yeah, that T20 team has settled very, very nicely, of course, heading into finals day. Very, very nicely balanced, shall we say, heading into that first semi-final against the Hampshire Hawks at 11 o'clock. Hampshire, of course, sneaking through in more ways than one, it has to be said. They were very, you know, very, I don't want to say fortunate or lucky with the South Group. They snuck through in fourth place, that incredible final game against Glamorgan. And then, of course, they went on, won that incredible quarter-final against Notts. And yeah, have now booked their place against your team, Somerset, Will. So that should be absolutely fantastic entertainment on Saturday. But Will, of course, it goes without saying as well, heading into the future, wishing you nothing but the very best of luck, mate. I mean, you're a fantastic talent, got really, really high ceiling. We'll mention that again with a few tweets here, as you can probably tell by my reaction. But yeah, wishing you the best, mate. Hopefully a good few years ahead of you, not just in T20 cricket, but who knows, maybe Red Bull cricket as well. We'll have to wait and see. Yeah. Again, fingers crossed. But I've alluded to them enough. Okay, I've alluded to them throughout today's podcast because on Twitter, we put the announcement up literally last night. Somerset, your admin, did actually retweet it, so that's probably why there's a bit more reach as well. But we did have quite a few fan questions for you, Will, from the Somerset fans on Twitter. So I'll get them up now. And the first question, this is a lovely question, I have to admit. This is from Luke T on Twitter. He said to you, Will, which players in the Somerset squad have given you the best advice since you've been involved in the first team setup? And if so, what was the advice that they gave you?
I want to say Delange. He just told me to try and hit it for six when I kept getting caught hitting it flat. So just hit it up, mate. What are you doing? I'm not really sure, to be honest. I think it's hard to single it out. I think as a young person coming into the side, all the senior lads obviously take you under their wing a bit and try and help you out. But I think it's hard to single out a person, and nothing really sticks out to me apart from that from March. And every time I got out sort of on the boundary or hitting it flat at someone, he's like, what are you doing?
I'm going to be honest, I didn't expect that. I expected the actual advice from Marchant because, again, with him, it is basically just go big or go home. He knows how to keep a boundary rope, to say the least. Marchant, yeah, was brilliant for Glamorgan. But, yeah, Marchant Belanger certainly knows how to hit a big ball. And just talking of senior figures, I know he's not in the first 11 anymore, but a legend of Somerset County Cricket Club, Marcus Truscothick, Will, someone who in 2016 you've had a very, very memorable partnership with in the second 11. And I just wanted to direct your attention to a tweet of his back in 2017, right? May 11th, 2017, 2:45 p.m. And he put, Will Smead is definitely a name to remember, big future ahead. That was 4 years ago. Marcus Truscothick called this. So how big of an influence has he been on your journey? Because you played second 11 cricket with him. He's a legend down in the West Country. How much of an influence has he had in terms of your formative years in the professional game?
I've done a fair bit of work with him. I work mainly with Greg Kennis as the batting coach, because sort of he's been with me since when I was on the EPP. He was the head coach of the EPP, so he knows my game inside out. But I think with Trez, the main thing was like, God knows how old he was in 2016 when we had that partnership, but it was just how much he enjoyed it still and how simply he kept the game as well. And that was something that stuck out for me. I think when you're young, it's easy to start overcomplicating it, especially when you start going up levels. But yeah, from him, it was just, he was clearly someone that knew his game inside out and just how simple he managed to keep it. And that was something I picked up from Babar as well when he was over here. I think it's something a lot of the top players do, is they have such simple game plans, but they stick to it and it works so well for them. So yeah, that was probably the main thing from Trez.
Fair enough. I mean, you've just mentioned there two great names, Marcus Truscothick, And of course, Bab Razam. Just before we get on to another Twitter question, actually, that sparked one in my head, Will. Who do you say has been the, I don't know, I was going to say most influential. I was going to say, who has been your favourite batting partner from your time at Somerset so far? Because you've had quite a few. You've had Babar. You've had, of course, Devon Conway this season. You've got the likes of Tom Abel, James Hildreth, you know, the classic Somerset players. Who do you say has been your favourite batting partner so far?
It's probably Bance, to be honest. I think that game against Hampshire this year when he got 70-odd, I think when he's playing well, it's just ridiculous to watch. And that happened a few, when we were at school together, that happened a few times as well, where I'd just be sat up the other end, just like, how is this guy doing this? Like, he does some freakish stuff. So I think that's probably, yeah, when he's on form, batting with him is unbelievable, because you know you can just hit a single and then watch him hit five sixes for the rest of the over.
Yeah, he's a wonderful batsman, Tom Banton. My co-host Joe loves Tom Banton. One of his favourite players, very innovative, enterprising, plays 360, yeah, doesn't he? Again, dominant bottom hand, a little bit whippy, yeah, the batting action,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, he is massively. He was a top pocket bat, I think, so that's where he got most of it from.
Maybe that's where I've gone wrong.
Sweeps and stuff.
That's where I'm beginning to think I've gone wrong with my 11.5 average. Maybe I'd be averaging 50 if I played hockey and tennis. Ridiculous. That's a lesson. Any budding young cricketers out there, play hockey. Because I didn't, and look at me, I'm averaging 11 in village cricket. Right.
We have a better technique than us, though. As a result.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm going to be honest, Will. I like myself to Chris Martin. Not the Coldplay singer. The New Zealander.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure he's still
the Kiwi tailender who played for Warwickshire and was basically just a walking wicket, to be honest. Brilliant bowler. Great bowler, Chris Martin. But yeah, wasn't exactly the most proficient with the bats. Wasn't exactly Don Bradman or Kane Williamson with the bat in hand. Moving on to our next Twitter question then, from one of the best named Twitter accounts on Twitter, I think, Don Joe Weatherly. Joe Weatherly, we have had on the podcast, lovely fella, but this is basically a Joe Weatherly fan account. Will, this is for you. Have you always been a big hitter? And if so, did that come naturally with your size?
I think I've always been able to hit sixes, but I haven't always been that big. I think I grew quite a lot when I was probably around 15, 16 maybe. But yeah, I think it's something I've always been able to do. And I don't know whether that comes from playing other sports and the bottom hand. I think I've always had quite a dominant bottom hand and sort of hacked it over the leg side. But yeah, it's something that I will work on quite a lot this winter as well. It's just the consistency of it. Because I think that was something I got from watching a few of the top lads do it, is how consistently they hit sixes, and they would go through a whole net session with hardly missing a ball. And I think that's where you want to get to. And I think last winter I focused a lot on red ball, funnily enough. I didn't do much white ball stuff, but I think this winter I'm have a clearer idea of what my work ons are. And I think in white ball that will be hitting straight. I think I feel like I miss out on quite a lot of full balls because I'm sitting back just trying to slog it over deep square. But yeah, I think it comes naturally, but it's definitely something I can improve as well.
Fair enough. I like that. Of course, in life, always room for improvement. And yeah, straight shots do look lovely, don't they? No matter what the format. Yeah. Nice straight drive. Oh, sends the crowd into absolute raptures. I think that'd be class, Will, if you get that into your game. It's one of the best looking shots, that and a cover drive. Oh, does not get much better than that at all.
That's tough with the bottom hand I've got. Proper, perfect cover drive.
Who knows, one day, Will. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. Yeah, I can't do a cover drive either. But again, that's even with a dominant top hand. Just says a lot about my batting, to be honest. Talking of your big hitting, though, Will, and I must admit, this is quite a decent question. This is from Potterne Cricket Club on Twitter, okay, one of your local rivals in the West Country, obviously Bridgewater Cricket Club's rival. Will, could you, this is the question, Will, could you pop back to Potterne and give us a hand in fixing the neighbouring farmer's barn roof after you knocked a hole in it earlier this season? Could you just give us the backstory behind that? Did you hit a farmer's roof with a six?
Yeah, that was our first club game of the season, and I got a few away that game, actually. A few of them, I think there was a strong wind blowing one way and I got it up in the wind, and a few of them went pretty far.
Right.
I didn't know it did break the roof though, but cause it's sort of hidden like behind a hill.
Wait, hang on. So you cleared a hill?
No, the like cricket ground's at the top of the hill. It's at the top of the hill, and then the barn's like at the bottom, so you can't really. So it ends up going a lot further than it should have.
Still an impressive hit, that.
That, yeah. That was a proper bat, that, as well. I was gutted when it broke.
Oh, did it break in the game?
No. It lasted pretty long, to be fair. I think that was because I wasn't hitting many balls at the start of the season because I kept getting out. So I wasn't batting for very long.
Fair enough. But Will, you haven't actually answered the question there. I have to ask it again. Are you going to pop back down and help them out?
It's a bit of a trek, so I'm not too sure. Maybe next time I play them, if there's still a hole there, I'll go over and fix it somehow.
There you go,
my Potter. DIY skills aren't great either.
mine are questionable as well. In fact, to be honest, worse than the cricket? Maybe. Says a lot about my technical ability in the game. Right, moving on to our next one then, Will. This is from Ollie, who hosts the From the Pavilion podcast from Cambridge. This is a really nice question. I like this. Will, what does it mean to you to represent Somerset County Cricket Club?
Naturally, it means a lot. It's my home county. I've been there the whole way through. And I think as a youngster playing, your goal is always to play for the first team. And yeah, like I alluded to earlier as well, you realise how much it means to a lot of people as well. And as important as it is for me, I'm very aware of playing for sort of the county as a whole and all the fans. And yeah, it means so much. I think every time you step out there, it's like a massive family, to be honest. Like, it just means so much to everyone. And you can see that, and everyone like puts their all into it every time. And yeah, I'm very privileged and lucky and grateful actually to be able to play for Somerset and get to represent them, because I think, yeah, it's a big honour.
It is. It's a massive honour. You're one of 18 first-class counties. You think of all the great Somerset players that have come before you as well, and of course are still at the club. Like Hildy, Abel, Bantz.
Yeah, 100%.
Overton, Lou Gregg. I mean, yeah, they're a good side, Somerset, I must admit, on paper. This next one is from Andy, but again, this was from a lot of questions on Twitter. Well, so before we get into teammates, we do have to, again, address the Red Bull questions. This is actually quite a good question from Andy. In the Red Bull format, do you see yourself as an opener or a middle order batsman? What would you prefer?
At the moment, middle order, but I think that's because technically I'm not good enough to open. If I can figure out opening, I wouldn't mind opening because there are more gaps in the field, then you can score quicker. But I'm not really sure at the moment. I don't have a very clear idea of what my Red Bull cricket looks like, and for one reason or another, at the start of the season when it was like the Red Bull block, I couldn't score a run, and I think that made it tough to know what I'm good at in Red Bull and sort of what my game plan needs to be. And hopefully I can figure that out pretty quickly if I get the chance, sort of start of next year with the Red Bull block. And yeah, I think when you're in form in Red Bull, it's a great sport because you can just bat forever. But when you're out of form, it's a pretty tough game. So hopefully I can minimise the time I'm out of form.
Yeah, it does get tough, especially with the county grind. We get that a lot here on the podcast. When you do have back-to-back, even to back, bad batting performances, it is like a monkey on the back, isn't it? I suppose it does get incredibly difficult to shift. Yeah.
Yeah, I think less so in the second team, because obviously there's less exposure and less people are watching it. But from a personal point of view, yeah, it's tough. And I think you can carry that baggage for every innings until you get runs. And I think for me, I wasn't scoring any runs, but I wasn't feeling awful. So that sort of stopped it from being shocking for my confidence. I think I knew that I was feeling okay and I was moving well and I was seeing the ball okay. So sort of I was trusting that at some point it would come good.
And it does in cricket, doesn't it? It's a very, very funny game. I mean, you do have some bad performances, then some great performances, and then, of course, some bad ones. Again, it's a roller coaster. It's never just smooth, is it? There's always waves, there's always ups, downs, troughs, peaks. I mean, it's a funny game, but it's a wonderful game. I must admit, I think it's the best sport on the planet and the best ever invented. But again, that's my incredibly biased county cricket podcast.
Yeah, it sounds a bit biased, I think.
A little bit, yeah, just to say the least. But in terms of just one final question then, Will, from the fans, this is actually quite interesting. Are there any players that we should be watching out for in the Somerset second 11? Are there any that have really caught your eye in terms of the next crop, the next future generation of Somerset cricketers that we should be looking out for?
I think you got to see both of them maybe in the 50 over comp, but James Roo and George Thomas, I think, are both proper players. Roo's played some serious knocks in the Red Bull 2s this year, and yeah, he looks like a proper player. And then Tomo's obviously a big boy and can whack it miles, so I think me and him might end up having a few competitions so you can hit it further at one point.
Fair enough. Now, there are some very, very good young talents, I must admit, in Somerset at the moment. James Roo really does impress me. 17 years of age, isn't he?
Yeah, he's proper player. Also, Sonny Baker's pretty fast, and yeah, he's got the right mindset, I think, to go a very long way on the game.
100%. He's been incredibly impressive in the seconds. Really fast. I mean, he seems to send stumps flying all over the shop. Sonny Baker is definitely someone to watch out for. I'd agree with that. And of course, went on to represent England under 19 recently. So, yeah, not bad.
Again, yeah, all three of them have, actually.
Same with Jacob Bethel from Warwickshire. Definitely someone else to watch out for. But again, I'll try not to be
too biased.
Yeah,
he's a very good player as well. I had a bit of 19 stuff with him this winter or last winter. But yeah, he stood out as one of the top players there, I think.
Yeah, he is. He's a special talent. But again, we've got a lot in county cricket at the moment. We're very, very fortunate, I think, at the moment to be blessed with so many talented youngsters. And of course, Will, you're still only 19, which is terrifying for me as a 20-year-old. the fact that we've now actually got, you know, younger, a lot more talented players coming through the generation. But hey, wishing you nothing but the very, very best of luck, Will, in Somerset colours. So just before we end today's podcast then, Will, we do, of course, have our wrap-up segment, which is TCCP teammates. So for those who don't know how this works, basically in front of me, I've got an assortment of questions for Will that he will answer about his teammates that he shares a dressing room with down at the Cooper Associates County Ground. So Will Smead, are you ready for TCCP teammates?
Yeah.
Right, let's go. Fantastic. First question, Will, a classic here on TCCP. Who is the teacher's pet down in Taunton? Who's always hanging around the coaches, per se?
Maybe llamas, I think the coaches love. I think everyone loves him, to be fair, but yeah, we'll go with llamas.
Fair enough. Great player, though, Tom Lamonby, in both
red
ball.
He is top player.
And white ball, yeah. Again, another talent to watch out for. Ridiculous amount of talent down in Taunton at the moment. Will, moving on to the next one. I'm not going to lie, judging by your physique, you might be up for this one. who's Mr. Hard as Nails in the dressing room?
Rilla.
100%. Oh, yeah, the bulldog.
You don't want to get in a fight with him. Jesus. He's a big boy, but he's an angry man. I think you can see that from the celebrations as well, that you don't want to get on the wrong side of it.
Have you seen that on social media? Someone's brought a cutout of that celebration. They're bringing it to finals day.
No, I didn't see that, but that would be good to see. That was probably the loudest I've ever heard the ground when he got Livy out.
Well, yeah, it was a massive wicket, wasn't it?
Good celebrations go with it as well.
Eyes popping, veins going all over the place.
Literally.
Mouth wide open. Like,
I thought he was going to pass out.
Great celebration, though. Loves the celebration as well.
And of course,
I'll be looking out. I've got my eye out for that cutout. I think that's going to be absolutely hilarious on finals day. Especially if you win. Roloff has to have a picture with that at some point.
He'll probably take it home with him if we win.
Fair enough. I'm looking forward to that on Saturday. Moving on to our next question then, Will. Who's the dressing room DJ down in Taunton? And what are their go-to choices of tunes?
I think Bantam backs himself on the tunes. He's got a bit of everything, to be fair. He's pretty good at catering to the crowd, because obviously you have sort of different tastes. You've got people that like dance music, who like rap music, who like a bit of pop. He's pretty good, pretty versatile. He's got a few playlists, you know, just depending on what crowd he's DJing for that day.
Fair enough. So he's flexible. He's got a variation. Fair enough, yeah. Keeps all the bases covered. That's always good as the DJ. You don't just want one genre, I suppose. Everyone's different in the dressing room, aren't they? With the music taste. Talking of music, though, Will, this next one. Who's the karaoke king in Taunton?
I don't have a clue, really, to be honest. I sort of sing the team song. That's the only thing I ever see getting done. If I could have a guess, I think Brooksy would be straight on the karaoke machine. Yeah, that would be my guess, but I can't say anything for sure.
I think I'd agree with that. He's very extroverted, isn't he, Jack Brooks?
Good yeah. lad, very good lad.
Good cricketer as well. Pretty much done it all in county cricket, to be honest. Talking of cricket, though, in the cricket-themed podcast, of course, Will, who's the most likely to get timed out during a game? Who's quite slow getting the kit on?
Ned Leonard, maybe. I think I would have said Eddie, but he's at Glammy at the moment. But yeah, he gets called a space cadet quite a lot. God knows where his head is half the time. I'd love to know what he's thinking in there, but yeah.
Is he the type of batsman who there'll be 8 wickets down and still hasn't got the thigh pad on, hasn't got the box on? That kind of tail ender, or
Eddie or Ned?
No, Ned.
Ned. I don't know, really. I haven't played with him much this year. Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him to not have his kit on, or he wouldn't realise how many wickets down we are or something like that, yeah.
Fair enough. Fingers crossed that doesn't happen, of course. But, yeah, interesting to know. Moving on to the next one, Will. You will have to throw at least one person under the bus here, because this next question is the best and worst dressed at Somerset.
Worst dressed would be Eddie Byram. He's got this horrible collection of socks. I don't even know what they are. They're like, got pineapples on them, ducks on them. Like, it's always odd socks as well. It's very strange. Best dressed. Don't know, really. Best dressed at Somerset.
It's a good sign when it takes this long, isn't it?
No one really stands out. That's why we've not really got any, like, people that are into their fashion or anything.
What about Tom Abel?
Wears pretty bog standard clothes, to be honest. I think most of us do. Yeah, I think we're all just pretty boring blokes in terms of how we dress.
So basically the entire team is best dressed and then there's Eddie Byram.
Pretty much, yeah.
Fair enough. I think that's actually a good way of answering the question, to be honest. Moving on to our next question then, Will. Who's the dressing room joker down in Taunton? I think we know this, maybe. But who's the clown in the dressing room?
Jack Brooks.
Yeah.
I think that's the obvious one, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Very, very funny lad. He's got a lot of stories and, yeah, he's very good at making people laugh.
100%. Have you ever been on the receiving end of a Jack Brooks prank?
Not a prank. I've seen a few, but I haven't been on the receiving end of any, no. Not yet. I'm sure my time will come.
Yeah, lucky you haven't so far. It's coming, Will. It's coming at one point. Moving on to our next question, our penultimate question for today's episode, a sports-themed one, Will. And again, it's a sport which every cricketer seems to absolutely love. It is, of course, golf. Who's the dressing room Tiger Woods? Who's the best golfer down in Somerset?
I don't know, because I don't actually play. There are a few that play like quite a lot. So like Craig plays quite a lot. Youngie plays quite a lot. Waller. I think it'd be Waller, to be fair. I think he's a pretty good golfer from what I've heard, but I've got nothing to go off because I've never played a round of golf in my life.
Never?
No. I've played like a... What's it called where like you're in teams and everyone hits a shot and then you go off the best shot and then you like... We did that once with the 19s in Bangladesh or something, like Scramble or something, I think. Only time I've ever gone around a golf course.
That's interesting. We don't usually get that on the podcast, I'm going to be honest. There does seem to be this relationship with cricket and golf. Is it just not your thing, Will?
Yeah, I think... I've just never tried it. I think if I started playing, I'd love it. So this winter, maybe I'll start playing a bit.
Get some coaching lessons off Max Waller. He'll turn you into the next Tiger Woods. To be fair, I think Ruloff mentioned Max as his choice, actually. So, again, must be a very, very handy golf player. Well, moving on to our last one. It's a classic here on CCCP. We are approaching winter, of course. And one classic programme comes on ITV, and that is, of course, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Who in the Somerset dressing room would be most likely to appear on I'm a Celebrity?
Don't know really. I think Rullo would probably enjoy being shut in a cage with snakes and stuff. So maybe him. I think if one person was going to enjoy that sort of stuff, it'd be him.
I would love to see that. I'm not going to lie.
He definitely wouldn't be scared of them. That's for sure.
Well, no, he'd just start shouting at them, wouldn't he? Giving it all large at them. I would love to see that. ITV, if you're listening, get in contact with Roloff. In fact, we both know Roloff. We have him on Twitter, of course. We've had him on here on the podcast. Get King Roloff on I'm a Celebrity. I think he'd win it, you know. I think he'd win. I think he'd
I wouldn't put it past him.
He's hard
he
as
wouldn't
nails.
Fail any of the challenges, that's for sure.
No. Well, he'd just get stuck in, wouldn't he? It's Roloff and the Murphy. He's not scared of anything.
100%.
I'd love to see that. I'd absolutely love to see that. So ITV, yeah, plan it. When is the next iterations this year, isn't it? 2021? Make it for 2022. Get Rulla van der Merwe and I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here. But, well, I think that's a lovely place to wrap up today's podcast, really. And I'm going to be honest, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's been good to know a bit more about yourself, not only as a cricketer, but of course, off the field as well. So just before we end today's episode, do you just have anything to plug or promote? Any social media channels, for example?
No, I don't. Apart from, obviously, I'm an ambassador for Sporting Mind, so go check them out. They're doing some pretty amazing stuff. And yeah, hopefully they can continue to grow because sport's been amazing so far.
100%. And we will, of course, leave the link to the Sporting Minds website in the podcast description. Do go and check out their work. They are a fantastic organisation. I must admit, I've checked them out myself. But Will, all that's left for me to say is thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast today. It's been an absolute pleasure. And of course, good luck for Saturday. Finals Day 2021. It should be an absolute blockbuster for all of us as county cricket fans. And of course, to all of our wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.